happens to people in our city who seek shelter in the subway system? It's a question that's been on a lot of people's minds in recent weeks. Outreach groups have been working overnight to get those people the help that they need.
Well, clearly the folks living in this station aren't getting the help they need, because if they were, they'd be living somewhere else.
And with New York City's homeless population recently hitting all-time highs, nobody should be surprised that our 24/7 subway is becoming a place of refuge for those who are struggling.
And this is all happening because our leaders won't go after the real reason people end up down here in the first place.
New Yorkers have seen some unimaginable things while commuting on the city subway system, from people being shoved to a chokehold and shots fired in a subway car. Mental illness was at the center.
Someone in a mental health crisis is going to be the same person that may push someone on the tracks. We want to identify them before it gets to that point.
I'm petrified. I'm sick of it. I worry about being pushed. They should be in a mental institution.
You can't be just have them on the street, you know, and then after something happened, then they talk about it.
The heartrending sights in the Herald Square subway station were hard to miss. Men and women laying on the cold concrete, clutching for warmth. But not everyone wanted help, some packing up to take shelter at another platform.
When somebody is out of the hospital, their discharge plan must have the proper follow-up care, and that is missing, in my opinion.
The challenge? Figuring out the most effective way to engage with someone in mental health crisis, how long they should remain in treatment, and whether that should be done against their will.
So New York is launching a quality of life commission to find out why so many people are complaining of societal decay. And although this article mentions that complaints about homeless encampments are up over 500%, nobody running New York City has any plans to reverse those numbers. Oh yes, you'll hear speech after speech about mental illness and how we need to help the vulnerable. And I spoke to one city employee who told me that the reason this problem just seems to be getting worse is because in the past, police used to be able to arrest people that they saw using banned items in public. But alas, we live in a city that's decriminalized every form of irresponsible, destructive behavior known to man. Shoplifting, robbery, and assault, those are all misdemeanor offenses. And when you add to that the decriminalization of addictive behavior in a public setting, you lay the foundation for our subway stations to become nonstop humanitarian nightmares that rival Skid Row in LA. Which brings us to the real reason everything down here seems to be deteriorating. We don't have a legal system that can do anything about it and actually intervene in a person's life when they need real help. Sure, it's illegal to start fights and assault others, but doing that just means people get a slap on the wrist and no jail time. Ditto fare evasion and other irresponsible, destructive behaviors. And with laws this lax being supported by local officials, it makes sense nobody can find the solution to the problems vulnerable people are facing, which, as you're about to see, look like they're gonna continue getting worse before they get better. This looks like it might be someone's living room, unfortunately. But here we are in a station which has been featured in several news reports because of the sheer number of folks that are living down here on a full-time basis. And if you look a little closer, you'll see the one thing that has a lot to do with the reasons many people wind up down here, which our city has no plans of tackling.
New Yorkers have seen some unimaginable things while commuting on the city subway system. Mental illness was at the center.
Someone in a mental health crisis is going to be the same person that may push someone on the tracks, may commit another crime. We want to identify them before it gets to that point.
Wednesday night, one of the
Sadly, this is the state of our subway system, and it's not improving or getting better despite all of the recent announcements about extra police coming down here for safety and mental health outreach teams that are supposed to interact with people who are living down here and don't know there's a place to help them. But part of the reason these efforts aren't working is because chemical substances are sweeping over our streets and are winding up down here where they rob people of their cognitive capacity. And the figures here are shocking. Last year, a federally mandated survey revealed that over 4,100 people were living down here on a full-time basis. And these numbers are up from the year before, but experts say the real figure could be even higher because
this survey was done at a time when New York City's homeless shelters were so full they were pretty much at capacity.
And while the Department of Social Services commissioner says this is good news because it means New York City is using its resources to get people off the streets, critics say homeless shelters are not designed to be full because they're supposed to be a temporary destination for those who are recovering recovering and trying to get back on their feet, which, if you look around, does not seem to be what's happening down here at all, sadly.
The heartrending sights in the Herald Square subway station were hard to miss. Men and women laying on the cold concrete, clutching for warmth, some struggling with addiction, with others facing homelessness. But not everyone wanted help, some packing up to take shelter at another platform.
This report includes footage that was taken from this very pathway where I'm standing right now, and it hits the nail on the head because it mentions in passing that people are doing things down here that keep them down here. Things which contribute to one's reluctance to seek better accommodations or get off the streets to begin with. But part of the reason people are refusing treatment could be that they are caught up doing things to themselves that would not be allowed in a treatment facility, or that the treatment facility would try to get them to stop. Which is probably why the video shows people who are refusing help. Who would refuse clean clothes, a shower, a hot meal, and a place to stay? Perhaps somebody would refuse those things if the consequence of accepting them caused their lifestyle to have to change. And what the news report mentions is that people who are encountered and refuse help often just relocate to another part of the subway where they won't be bothered. And the worst thing about all of this is these are circumstances the city was warned would soon overtake it. But nobody was listening, because last summer, many of the same problems identified down here at this station were also identified on the street directly above it in Midtown. And what's so crazy about that is when the weather was warmer, nothing was seemingly being done to stop people from engaging in destructive behaviors above ground. And now that it's cold out and people are making their way down the stairs down here and living around here, we wonder how that's happened. We act like we're shocked. One local shop owner says he's got to wake people up who are sleeping on his doorstep just to be able to open his business and make a living. Others mention that they constantly see people fighting and screaming and going after each other. It's total lawlessness up on our streets. And now we're somehow surprised that total lawlessness has made its way beneath our streets.
Are you looking for a place to stay?
To stay, housing, yes.
She was assessed by clinicians who say she appeared to show signs of a mental health condition. She was taken to a safe haven bed at a city shelter.
For us to bring someone to a hospital, we have to observe two things, right? Both the appearance of mental illness and also that the person is a danger to themselves or others.
So here we've got a woman who says she's been living on the streets for 5 years. And sadly, what that means is the trip she was filmed taking to a treatment facility probably wasn't the first one she's taken, which goes to show you the challenges that our city is facing down here. Some individuals find themselves down here because life has taken a wrong turn. They're depressed and they need a helping hand. While sadly, others find themselves down here because they're using things that keep them in the state they're in. But sadly, this reveals that our city doesn't have the resources to help either group of people. Although they're probably better equipped to help people who are of sound mind and realize that they need a little help to get off their feet and are willing to take steps in a positive direction. And unfortunately, the city has zero tools to help those who might be suffering from decisions they keep making on a regular basis and have no incentive or desire to stop making. Something which becomes readily apparent to anyone who's ever walked around the subway and just looked at the surroundings. You'll see items all over the place, which shouldn't be down here at all. And you'll see people sleeping nearby who may have been using such items just a few moments ago. But none of this should be happening, because in Midtown, just steps away from where we are right now, the city has around 15 facilities above ground that are all designed to help people who might be struggling with some sort of abusive disorder. Yet, according to the New York Post, local residents say that these expensive, government-funded facilities just seem to be making the problems on our streets and now in our subway worse, because they act as a magnet for those who need a greater degree of help and can't get it from those very places. And all of that is causing the homeless population down here to surge.
Since the start of the program in August, which operates in three areas of Manhattan overnight beginning at 8 p.m., the city-led team made contact with over 7,900 homeless New Yorkers. Over 2,600 received care. NYPD says a transit crime is down 35%.
So from August until last month, 7,900 people were located down here. 2,600 of them were treated. That means we've got 5,300 people who are down here, refused treatment, and now could be anywhere. Now, what we don't know is if those 5,300 people include duplicate encounters. The report doesn't mention that, but there are around 100,000 people living in New York City's homeless shelters at the moment. And if 4 or 5% of those individuals decide that they don't want to stay in those facilities and they come down here, the numbers we're seeing on the news and in recent surveys do make sense. But the worst part about all of this is that while our leaders and even the media, to an extent, paint this as some new, unpredictable phenomenon that just came out of nowhere. The truth is that our laws have stopped the city from helping those who actually need it for so long that all of this was inevitable. So here we are above ground, that subway terminal we were just in. It's directly beneath our feet. And this is the area where an ongoing humanitarian crisis was spotted just half a year ago. And you've got to ask yourself, as the weather warms up, is that situation going to come back? Is it going to be even more unmanageable than it was just a few months ago? Critics of how the city's been handling this say that's the case.
There are some neighborhood stories that take us a while to find, but we get out there. This isn't one of them. To the glaring presence of the mentally ill, to piles of trash and even piles of city bikes. There's also what locals describe as a constant presence of loitering. 8th Avenue in Manhattan.
So, this news report, it's from last summer, but what's shocking about it is it was filmed right over here, and now all of the problems that were in that report are now present below ground. And even though the city hired an army of sanitation workers and caretakers to come here and try to do interventions, the problems weren't solved because of their outreach efforts. Instead, the problems up here just went somewhere where they aren't visible, and it looks like a victory. Until one decides to look a little closer. Things up here are still really bad. We've got EMTs responding right now to somebody who's in distress. It appears the individual here was sleeping. He's okay. He's talking. He's responding to officers. But this is the type of distress that is afflicting people, which in many cases is self-inflicted. It's just our laws don't allow someone who's in this type of situation to get actual help or actual treatment, which is why these problems persist. And it's sad. Some of these folks, they don't know the type of shape they're in. They don't know that they need an actual intervention, but our city's not in a position to do that for anybody, which is why so many people are out on the streets perpetually. Over here at the McDonald's, you've got people exchanging something in a secretive manner. I'm not really sure what it is.
This part is getting bad. You know, we all know that it's getting bad.
Obviously, you know, if you come out late night, you know, something might happen.
There have been plenty of recent signs of how bad things have been getting. It's not just residents who are at wit's end here, but businesses, including the garment district.
You know, the most amazing thing about all of this is it's happening in New York, a massive, progressive, sanctuary city where the people running it claim that compassion is their middle name. But what exactly is compassionate about allowing people to destroy their own lives without even realizing it? And with our city decriminalizing things like robbery, theft, and assault, a system has been created that allows those who plan on living destructively and stealing things to support that lifestyle to be able to live like that as long as they want with virtually no consequence. Why else are sets of pens locked up in a box at Staples? It's because literally everything that can be stolen here will be stolen here, unfortunately. And when people can steal whatever they want and then immediately resell it on blankets out in front of the very store it was stolen from, we've just got laws here that enable the wrong type of behavior instead of stopping it. Which reveals that by allowing and decriminalizing one type of destructive behavior, you're just gonna encourage more destructive behavior.
From here to about our 50th,
we talked to Bishop, who tells us he's homeless and that there are so many out here now that we are seeing a range of behavior from the good to the not so good.
Stragglers, you can say they're homeless. I'm homeless though. Some of us are good.
So there's definitely a big difference between folks who are of a sound mind and who aren't harming anybody and those who are harming themselves and may put themselves in a mental state where other people end up being next. But our city has no ability to help anybody. If we had proper supportive housing, people who are of sound mind wouldn't feel the need to try and live inside of the subway. And if we had laws that got dangerous people off the streets, we wouldn't have folks living on them who are a danger to themselves and others without even knowing it. And the other problem is we need systems that intervene in people's lives to a greater degree, because minor interventions, these are just enabling people to continue a destructive lifestyle that's no good for them.
New Yorkers here tell us they don't need stats to know that it's gotten bad out here and say the city doesn't have to create new laws in order to clean 8th Avenue up.
I don't want to say anything that enforces no rules, but, you know, they need to be stricter out here.
While certain signs seem...
He's 100% right. Things need to be stricter, but they need to be stricter both above ground and below ground at the exact same time. You can't have a crackdown in one part of town like we did 6 months ago that leaves other areas of town wide open for people to just go to where they can continue doing whatever it was that brought the crackdown to location number one in the first place. But sadly, that's exactly what's happening. That's why we've got 50 5,300 people who are unaccounted for in our subway system. They could be anywhere. And these are people who are oftentimes in a very bad state, yet they're refusing the help that is out there, and we don't have a way to bring them out of the mess they're in that they don't even know about. It's very sad. What do you think New York City should do about its homelessness humanitarian crisis? Thank you so much for watching. I'll see you in the next video.